I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. We confess that first thing. We don't want to waste any time warming up for it to happen, right? And it's true. When the Spirit of God anoints and quickens the speaking and ministering of His Word, it ministers life, light, and life, and every good thing. So let's believe for what we need today, the specific. Father, You know exactly what we need to hear and see, what we need to be reminded of, anything that's new to us that needs to be revealed to us. We ask for it in Jesus' name, and we thank You for showing us how to apply it, and we thank You that because of Your Word, because of Your Spirit and Your graciousness and help, we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices, and we don't have to fall prey to what has destroyed so many. But we declare we are believers and we are victorious ones. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Look in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter again, please. We've been talking about overcoming unbelief. We've been on this series for a number of weeks now. 1 Corinthians 10:5, he says, with many of them, those that he delivered out of Egyptian bondage, recorded in Exodus and Numbers and those places, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. As we mentioned before, God wasn't pleased with their unbelief. It takes faith to please Him. He also was not pleased that they didn't go into the promised land like He had planned for them. He was not pleased that they were overthrown in the wilderness. The prophet said in Ezekiel and other places it talks about, he said, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. He said, why will you die, O Israel? And he talks about repent and believe me. He has another plan, yeah. Right? But he won't force it on you. He won't make you believe. He won't make you and I. And one of the biggest lies, I know we keep talking about it, but we need to talk about it even more. Because too many people, including church-going people, have become convinced, because they've heard some of these things from the pulpit, that everything that's happening is somehow God's will and God's plan. All manner of evil stuff. You hear about, you know, children that were killed in storms, teenagers that were killed in car wrecks, any number of things. And people say, well, you know, God has a plan and God was in control. You're telling me that God willed and set up that storm to kill that child. No, that's just not right. But millions believe it. Millions believe it. And that wrong thinking, that wrong believing twists everything in your relationship with God and in your ability to resist the enemy. It just skews everything. That's why the enemy pushes it so hard. And he pushes it through churches, through ministries, through seminaries, through books. But it's not what this book reveals. And you know, you can take half of a phrase, half of a verse that you don't understand and try to make it say all kind of things, But the scripture says, rightly divide the word of truth. You're supposed to look at any verse in the light of all the other verses. And what you do after a while, you begin to see God's character. And like he said concerning these people, he said, Hebrews 3, they never learned my ways. They never learned who I am and what I want. And so he's cautioning us. He said, don't do what they did. Don't murmur, verse 10, like they did and they got destroyed. And these things are examples for us. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Go back to Numbers 21 and let's continue looking at this. And don't assume you already know what we're talking about. There are different degrees of light and revelation. And this thing about God being in control and everything that happens is somehow God's will and plan, it's been ingrained in the church for centuries, generation after generation after generation. And just by being born during this time, you would have more of a residue of this than you even think you have. And it takes the light and the power of truth to set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Didn't Jesus say, you'll know the truth?
Yes.
The truth. And it will make you free. So let it make you free today. In Numbers 21, it says the people journeyed, verse 4, from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They were, you might say, at the end of their rope. They just at a point of mental and physical fatigue. And the couple of verses previously, they had just been attacked by soldiers and they had to fight. Now God gave them a victory, but they are not in a place. That's where they talk about when it says they were discouraged. Verse 5, the people spoke against God and against Moses, who was his chosen for their leader. You're always wrong if you get mad at God.
Amen.
Always. Always. You get perturbed with him. You get put out with God. You get impatient with God. You're wrong. Every time. Right?
Yes.
And if you don't think so, you're worse than wrong. You're a fool.
Yeah.
Thank God for his mercy.
Yes.
But you strong faith in God is attached to some very basic foundation. God's a good God.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
He's for me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's not out to hurt me.
No.
He's not against me.
That's right.
He's for me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
His plan for me is a good plan.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
His will for me is good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Whether it looks that way, feels that way, seems that way or not, that is the foundation that'll get you through the most challenging of times.
Yes.
Amen. And that's what they wouldn't do. They would not choose to believe that. And so they said, they spoke against God. They spoke against Moses. And they said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now, we've seen this over and over again. If you've been with us in our study, if you haven't, please go online, faithschool.org. Go back to the beginning of this series. It's called Overcoming Unbelief. We've already covered, 13 previous events to this one. And what we have seen over and over and over and over and over, remember, 13 previous to this. So there's more overs.
Yeah.
Again, these things were common in almost every one of those. What? Complaining and blaming. Everybody say complaining,
blaming.
And blaming. Blaming. Say it again. Complaining and blaming. Say it again.
Complaining
and blaming. Now see, a whole lot of folks, they know that's not necessarily good, but they're like, oh, you know, everybody complains a little bit here and there. You know, what's the big deal? The big deal is dying in the desert. Amen. Instead of going into the promised land. The big deal is forfeiting God's plan for your life. Missing the whole thing. Now that is bad. Right?
Yes.
Life is short. You don't have decades to waste or years to waste. They missed the most astounding deliverance anybody had ever heard about. Then they missed God's plan for the rest of their life. Now the Bible tells us, Hebrews, 1 Corinthians, and these other places, these are types for us. So is it possible a person could be gloriously saved, gloriously delivered, and then miss the whole plan of God for their life? Yeah. It's happened too many times. Why? They didn't enter in because of unbelief. And they chose to believe lies. The truth that God was giving them, and it's called the gospel. Did you remember we read that over in Hebrews 4? That the gospel was preached to them. What gospel did they get? Gospel means good news.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What good news did they get? All the way back to Exodus 2 and 3. God said, I've heard you. I'm coming for you.
Yes.
I'm sending you help.
Yes.
I'm bringing you out. Yes. And I have picked out a place for you.
Yes.
I've got a place. It's the promised land. It's beautiful. It's blessed. It flows with milk and honey. And that was to them, ultimately, too good to be true. They chose to believe a lie that it wasn't God's will for them to have that, but that God wanted to kill them. That God's will was suffering and pain in the desert and dying young and wrong. And that torment and vexation was God's mysterious plan for them. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
I said, sound familiar?
Yeah.
See, people mock folks like me. Oh, y'all are that health and wealth gospel bunch. Did you hear the word good news? Huh? Good. So there's something good about what God is saying that He has for you. He is a good God. Now certainly there are other aspects to talk about. You should be willing to sacrifice. And if you're going to live godly, you're going to be persecuted. Yeah, there's all that. But it doesn't change the fact that God's a good God. He's got a good plan for you,
amen.
Right?
Yes.
And it correlates with the promised land.
Yes.
That flows with milk and honey.
Yes.
And all of those good things. But people hear that and they go, nah, that can't be right. No, God's will is suffering. Suffering and death. Yeah. That's exactly what they said. It's exactly what they said. They believed the lie that God's will was suffering and death instead of the truth that God's will is victory after victory after victory after victory after victory, possessing, obtaining, enjoying. That was too good for them. That was too good to be true. No. That is too much for them to believe God would give them victory over these kind of opponents and God would give them that good of a place. That was like, no. No, we're too little. We're too bad. They're too big. It's too hard. No. And so they come up with their own doctrine that the devil helped them invent. What is it? No, God hates us is what the deal is. And he brought us out here to kill us. And why, oh why, did you ever take us out of Egypt? Because you asked him to. You pled with him to, right? Are y'all okay? Go to Psalm 81. Now, one reason I act a little animated about this is because God himself was very displeased with this. Very. And if he doesn't like it, we shouldn't like it. Is that right? If it really irritates him and displeases him, we want to stay totally away from that. Psalm 81, we touched on. Let's look at it again. It describes what happened. Psalm 81, he's talking about them in verse 6. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. Did he get them out or did he get them out?
Yes.
With signs and wonders and a mighty hand, the scripture said. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I proved you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify to you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. If you listen to me. That's the thing with the whole world today. Will you listen? He won't make you. He said, there shall no strange God be in you, neither shall you worship any strange God. The Bible said God's a jealous God. He's not going to share his glory with some lie, some false idol, some false God. And people say, well, that's not a big deal today. You ain't traveled much then. There are false gods. There are statues. There are all kind of things everywhere. And beside that, people have new gods of technology. And every right knowledge, and then there are people who worship the planet, right? Yeah. The creation instead of the creator. Oh yeah, people have other gods. He said, verse 10, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of Egypt. And get ready, because there's a lot of suffering in front of you. No, no, open your mouth wide and I'm going to fill it. Is he talking about with something good?
Yes.
Well, keep reading the rest of the passage. It's obvious that he is. He said, I'm your God. Yeah. Don't mess with them other gods. I'm your God. And open your mouth wide. I mean, open your arms wide. Open your heart wide. Open your life wide. I want to fill you up with some good stuff. Why? He's a good God.
Yes.
But verse 11, here's the problem. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. They didn't want me. They rejected him. When he sent Jesus, centuries later, same thing. He came into his own, and what? They said, we don't want this. We don't want him. So we're looking for somebody else. Nah, he's not it. That has been over and over again that people have rejected God. He said, they didn't want me. So, what's his choice now? If they don't want you, bring it back to you. If somebody don't want you, they don't want to hear what you say. They don't want anything to do with you. They won't listen to you. You only got two ways to go.
That's right.
You either try to make them,
yeah.
Which is devilish.
Is.
Devilish. To try to make somebody do something against their will. That's why God won't do it. Or what do? Let them do their thing. Let them go their own way. He said, I gave them up to their own heart's lust and they walked in their own counsels. Numbers 21. They're mad. They're discouraged. They're at the point of breaking and quitting. Why? They're speaking against God. They're speaking against Moses. But why are they there? They wouldn't listen to God. They're there because they did it their own way. And the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard life. It's a bleak life. But here's the thing. And as a minister of God, a representative of God, it irritates me when people mess up their own life and blame God. It's wrong. It's a lie. It's deception. And it's happening all the time. Proverbs talks about that. That the foolishness of a person perverts their own way, and then their heart frets against the Lord. God, why'd you do this to me? Did he do it to you? See, that's the question. God, why'd you put this off on me? You know, there are people that the Lord told them, don't marry them. And they did anyway. And it's been hellish. And they've been blaming God. God, why'd you do this to me? He didn't. He hadn't been in the thing from the beginning. You didn't listen to him. If you'd listened to him, you'd be in a different situation. People that the Lord told him, don't move there. Don't take that job. Don't leave the church. Don't do this. Don't do that. But no, they wouldn't listen. He told them back chapters before, go take the land and enjoy what I gave you. They wouldn't do it. So now, they're month after month into this bleak, dry, painful existence. And they're just blaming God. More, getting more upset with God and Moses every day. Sit out, Lord. Lord, help me. Not to be this dumb. Not to be this deceived. Or confused. One of the simplest ways you can avoid this is never, ever, ever believe God wants something bad for you. Real simple. Real simple. Never even be open to the idea, and you won't get like this. You'll know what to receive. You'll know what to resist. You'll know who to be thankful for, and that's God. And you'll know who to blame. And that's the devil and confused people. Right? But not God. Not God. He goes on to say, I gave them up to their own heart's lust and they walked in their own counsels. Now listen to God. Remember who's talking here now. This is inspiration through the psalmist. And it's God speaking in the first person. He said, oh, that my people had hearkened to me. And Israel had walked in my ways. See, instead of their own. They'd have done it my way. They'd have done what I wanted. Oh, that they had listened to me. Why? I should soon have subdued their enemies. How long would it have taken? Not long. Come on, can you see this? Would they still be out here eking out an existence in the desert? No. No, he said, I would have soon taken care of that. I would have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. And if God's fighting for you, woe to the other side. Is that right? The other side's in trouble. And the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves to him. But their time, God's people's time, should have endured forever. And he should have fed them with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock would I have satisfied you. What was God's will for them? Not what was happening. Not what happened. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him tell you that all this pain and this the thing that has discouraged you so is God's mysterious will for your life. No. Be honest. Admit You've done things your own way. Admit you didn't listen to him. Come on, y'all with me, class. Admit it. His will is to take care of this thing quick. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Give you overcoming victories quick. Yes. Feed you with the finest. Hallelujah. Yes. Get you into his goodness. Yes. Somebody say, Lord,
Lord,
I repent.
For
going my own way. Not listening to you. On anything.
I submit to you.
I acknowledge my problems.
My grief.
My turmoil. Is not because of you. It's not your plan. Your plan.
Is a good plan.
And I believe it.
And I receive it.
And I will trust you.
And I will listen to you.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Life-changing prayer. Well, our time's up again today. I'm so glad that you and I are overcoming. And what happened to them? Not going to happen to us. We're going to experience the promised land. Hallelujah. The goodness of God. Well, come back next time. There's a lot more to see. We'll see you soon here in Faith School. Sure enjoyed being with you again this week. We're making good progress. We're growing. Just like we've been confessing, we're getting stronger. I like to speak over our partners at the end of every week. A number of you continue to believe with us and support us and help us. And I want you to know that we're getting a constant stream of testimonies of people that are overcoming depression, overcoming discouragement, being able to receive healings, being able to get their bills paid, being able to get their marriages restored and their relationships restored with their children. This is no small thing. And we're able to reach people in other languages with this. So partner, you're going to have a great reward. You're going to have a part of some great things. Father, I speak over my partners and anybody and everybody that wants to become a partner with us. I have a right to believe that every seed sown will be multiplied back to them, cause everything they put their hand to prosper and succeed as you lead them, Lord, and cause them to experience bountiful harvests off of every good seed sown here. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for believing in us and for continuing to pray for us and support us. And come back next time. We're going to go on much further in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.